Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
A couple of weeks ago, an EF3 tornado, a bad one, hit Marshalltown, damaging or destroying hundreds of buildings. Well, a few days ago, we had the pleasure of talking with Marshalltown Mayor Joel Greer, who was home when the tornado warnings first went out.
It was sunny, and there was no wind, there was no rain, but I've seen microcells before and knew something was coming, and it was the sound that they described as a train coming at you that made me run down to the basement, and at the office, my wife and staff did the same thing there. And then in the aftermath, I knew as a mayor, I knew I had to get to the fire station, and it took the strangest route to get there because I'd go up a street and, oh no, there's a huge tree that blocks the whole street. I'd try another street. Nope, there's a power line down where I would hit it and maybe snap it. It looked like a movie set. You know, they did Twister up near Eldora, and I've seen the movie set after they did that, and it kind of looked like that movie set here.
Describe, if you can, the extent of the damage that day. How many buildings? What did it look like?
The ones I saw just getting to the post office included Raycom, which is our communication center for the 911 calls around Iowa. They actually go into other states, too. And they were missing the walls of the top four floors of the five-story building. And the trees that were blown over and uprooted were the most obvious ones. You could already see trees having gone through rooftops of houses on my route to the fire station. So it was pretty significant. And you could tell even in just the first look that we were going to have a lot of damage. And the real fear, of course, was if you'd seen the initial damage with all the bricks coming off buildings and falling on sidewalks downtown on 3rd Street, which is our usual route to get from home to office, there was a car that was absolutely crushed by a tree. So if anybody had been in it, they were going to be dead. That was the big fear. What is our body count going to be?
And miraculously, no one was killed.
Not only is no one killed, no one was seriously injured. It truly was a miracle. I'm not all that religious, but I got to tell you, we lucked out on that one.
The courthouse suffered some really severe damage. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was the toughest video to watch. You know, I'm a lawyer. I love that courthouse. I think it's the prettiest one in Iowa. And watching the Tupelo blow off was not easy. And by the way, a third of it blew off in the direction of the wind predominantly, which is to the east. And then it turned the corner left and went north for another half a block. It was the strangest thing I've seen in a weather event. And then when we had a tour the next day, the governor, lieutenant governor, Senator Ernst, Congressman Blum all came to Marshalltown. And so I was part of that entourage looking at the town. We literally went to the courthouse and we walked the five flights up to the fifth floor of the courthouse. It turns out we shouldn't have been doing that because they've now determined it's not structurally safe to be in there. But the damage there was more water than anything else. We had hardly any water in the event itself, but buildings like the courthouse had sprinkling systems, and so it was the water that had caused a lot of the damage internally, inside.
So county offices has had to be moved somewhere else.
Everybody's been moved somewhere else. City Hall, county offices. The county folks had the ability to move across the street to the Max building, nice five-story brick building that wasn't touched. It was actually built by Greg Miller, who was the Raycom person. His son, Mike, now runs Raycom. But they built that building. It's gorgeous. They rehabbed it. There was space in there, so they moved over there. And Kitty Corner to the southeast of the courthouse is where our county engineer's office is. They had some space available there. So most of the county people have just moved across the street.
Lennox Industries suffered a direct hit. How bad was the damage there, and what's the future now?
Well, Lennox is in the neighborhood that took the worst hit. They got the EF4. Lennox got basically its whole roof ripped off. How all of the people that were in Lennox, you know, they employed 900 plus people there in shifts, so I'm betting there were 300 or so people in the building. they all hunkered down into the restrooms, which were the safety areas, and nobody was hurt there. But the damage to that building was the, I think that is about the worst damage sustained. Now, that's talking about businesses. People lost their homes. I mean, where there was a home, there is now a hole. I mean, totally lost their homes. And so that destruction is awful. But the Lenox plant obviously took the biggest hit for damage to businesses.
Lenox says it's going to rebuild. Any word on how long that might take and how much that might cost?
No and yes, in that order. I haven't heard yet what the engineers predict for how long it will take or what it will look like even. You know, they have to figure out how to rebuild it. And for how much it will cost, I know it will be over $100 million. I think I heard hundreds of millions, and that was from the mouth of their president and COO, who came up here from Dallas and met with me on Monday.
How important is it to your community that Lenox, with all those jobs, stays?
That's a good question. I was hopeful that even if they left, and I wouldn't have blamed them for leaving because the destruction was so bad, and you know they're going to be out of production for a long time. But I looked at Newton, and the way that Newton was able to withstand having Maytag leave, and now they're making the wind-powered devices, and they have the racetrack, and so they kind of came back to life despite suffering the big loss of a big manufacturer of appliances. So I was hopeful that we would still withstand it if they left, but I was really, really hoping they'd stay, and I was just so relieved to hear that. Here's what happened. The president came up, and he brought the middleman between him and our plant manager. So the three of them, plant manager, president, and the middleman, first met with the governor, lieutenant governor, and Debbie Durham, the state economic development person. That meeting was at 3:30. The meeting with me, and then I invited our city administrator and our economic development person and chamber person to join me, was at 4:30 p.m. And at 5:30 p.m. was our city council meeting. And I think they timed that meeting so that it would work. And what they asked us to do, they asked the governor, you do a press release. They asked me, you're the mayor, you let the city people know we're here to stay. So that was pretty exciting.
Tell me about the hospital. I understand that also had a direct hit, but miraculously, no one was injured. Tell me about that.
It had a direct hit. You know, we have two facilities now. We built the brand new state-of-the-art, best state-of-the-art in the state, surgical center, wound center out south of town near Highway 30. The older hospital was the one that sustained the hit, and nobody was injured, staff or patients. Patients had to be relocated for a while. Within a week, we were able to put patients back in the hospital. As you might know, Unity Point has become part of our hospital. It now runs our hospital. We love the people that are here in town doing that. And I can't believe that they were able to get patients back in that hospital facility within a week of the tornado.
Talk a little bit about the damage in the neighborhoods. I know that some of the neighborhoods in the north part of the city were just severely hit.
North and east. We're in the north. On our block, we had trees go through roofs into kitchens. So significant damage. Just at Fifth and Hughes is where we live. But it was the one day I had to get back to the fire department, and I had to deviate quite a bit, quite a ways away because of all the trucks that were here to do the cleanup, that I got my first self-guided tour of the east side of Marshalltown, including driving past the Lenox plant. And that damage was nothing less than just devastating. There are still people that are sleeping on their front lawns because they have a hole where their house used to be. Or they're sleeping in their cars, and the cars don't have any windows because they were all blown out or knocked out by flying debris.
After all of this, how is the recovery effort going in Marshalltown?
The weird thing is it's going so well that it's almost counterproductive because we need financial relief, and we need people to know we're still in a big world of hurt, and a lot of people we suspect are not well insured, especially on the east side of town. But the relief and the recovery and the outpouring of volunteers is something that the people who have been in these disaster areas, if you talk to some of the people that have come in here from the Red Cross, for instance, from all over the country, this will be their fifth or tenth disaster where they've shown up and set up camp and helped people. And we happen to have a guy out from North Carolina. He was here in Iowa for a convention. He's been through, this was his job, basically. He's been through these things. He came up to help, and he and the other volunteers have said they've never seen a cleanup so fast. Immediately, people were here, a lot of them from Parkersburg, you know. They came with chainsaws, they came with pickup trucks, carts, and the debris removal from all of the trees that are down and from the homes was just incredible.
You briefly met with President Trump when he came to Dubuque last week. What were you able to tell him?
Not much. Welcome to Iowa. He asked, how are you doing? I reflexively said, fine, and then realized this may be my only audience with him. So I said, but we still need help. And that was the extent of the conversation. The receiving line when he came off the airplane was pretty fast. And there were not many of us in that line. It was the governor, lieutenant governor, Congressman Blum's wife, the Pella mayor, me, the Bondurant mayor, and they wanted somebody who was a first responder, so I took with me, well, I didn't take with me, he drove me as my Uber driver, our assistant fire chief, who is a first responder. And immediately after they went through the receiving line, they went over to a cordoned off area that was fenced and had a lot of Trump supporters, and there the conversations began.
What's your understanding about the prospect of getting some federal money to help out?
Senator Grassley came for a visit. While we were touring the town, he was stopped by a reporter and was asked that same question. And I heard him answer, well, in Cedar Rapids, we just now finally got clearance from the Corps of Engineers exactly a decade after the flood to spend the money that we have available to do some repair and work for the next flood that comes. So he's basically saying, if you get FEMA money, it may take a while.
I understand the Bobcats baseball team, Marshalltown's high school baseball team, had a big impact not just in terms of cleanup, but in the morale of the community while they were in the state playoffs. Talk a little bit about that.
Boy, that team has some really good athletes in other sports, too. Some are going on to play other sports, but our baseball team's been fun to watch every year. Coach Hansen, he can take a bunch of kids that aren't winning games at the beginning of the season, but by George, they figure out how to get into this in the state, which they did. And one fun thing was three of our really good community citizens decided, you know what, we need to bus people over to that game. So they secured a bus and gave people free rides to go to the baseball game. And just seeing that was available and knowing that we had a team that could make it all the way to the top of the state, which we did about 12 years ago, that was a pretty good morale booster, truly. And they played well. I guess there was one bad inning where there were five runs that kind of put us in the hole. But nice kids, and a lot of people went down to watch them.
It was a good morale booster for the community.
It was, yeah.
What would you like our listeners to know in summing up about how Marshalltown's coping with what happened?
I was interviewed 2 weeks before the tornado by WHO TV and asked, with the Ames mayor, in fact. I like him. He's a good man. And we were both asked to write one word down on a tablet that would describe our city. And he wrote down people because of so many good people resources names. I wrote down the word collaborate. We have so much collaboration here in this town. All of the city leaders, the school, the county, the employers, everybody knows each other, and we trust each other, and we work well together. And so this town, even if we had lost Lennox and JBS and some of the other major employers, we would survive. We'd be a Phoenix town that would come back and be fine. And actually, because of this damage and talking to people in Cedar Rapids and Parkersburg and others that have experienced things like this, I know we're going to look better and be better in 5 years than we were 2 weeks before the tornado hit.
Well, Dennis, can you share an update from what you did with that mayor?
Yeah, Paul, I went to Marshalltown a couple of days ago to look at the damage myself, and it is startling. It's much more extensive than we thought from looking at television or reading the newspapers. Downtown, a lot of those buildings are in serious shape, will have to come down. It's going to take at least a year, maybe more, to recover. There is good news, again. Nobody was killed in this thing, only a few people injured. And Lennox, just this past Monday, announced that it's going to donate $500,000 toward recovery efforts. And of course, Lennox has already announced they're going to stay in Marshalltown, rebuild that plant. And that's great because they employ hundreds of people in that community. So Marshalltown, though it's been hit, is, I'm happy to say, on the road to recovery.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the Donate button at khoifm.org.